From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino.
Felix, do you know where we are?
I think I'm getting a good idea.
We're in Brazil. This week, we're going to hop into our time machine, dial back to the 60s, and head over to Brazil.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, we got an advanced copy of an upcoming album. It's a compilation called Red Hot in Rio 2. Now, we played a couple of songs on our podcast last week, but we just couldn't get enough of that album.
Red Hot is a nonprofit international organization fighting HIV. And since the late 80s, they've done over 15 compilation albums. Each Red Hot album has a different focus, and they all feature very high-profile artists.
Red Hot in Rio 2 is the second Red Hot album about Brazilian music, and it's all about the Tropicália movement, the 1960s psychedelic Brazilian rock movement.
It's been said that the Tropicalistas continued the sonic experimentation of the Beatles, and it's inspired countless American musicians. We here at Alt Latino love Tropicália, and with artists like Beck, Seu Jorge, David Byrne, and Caetano Veloso, this album is pretty much like a great Christmas present in the middle of summer.
You know, you must try the new ice cream flavor. Do me a favor, look at me closer. Join us and go far and hear the new sound of my body.
Joining us now to give us a Tropicália Music 101 lesson is music producer for the Red Hot organization, Beco Dranoff.
As they say in Brazil, oi!
Oi, tudo bem? It's such a pleasure and honor to be here at NPR, the Alt Latino, with you guys.
So right now we're listening to Baby, featuring Alo Black and Alice Smith. Set the scene for us. What was happening in Brazil at the time Tropicália was born?
Tropicália is it's an art movement that was even bigger than just music. Everybody mostly associates Tropicália with music, but Tropicália actually was an art installation by an artist called Hélio Oiticica, and he created a name, and the name was sort of expanded to include poetry, performances, design, and of course music. They sort of rocked Brazil. The Tropicalistas merged the concept of everything that was pop and international that was happening in the late 60s and made it Brazilian. So it was a very crucial point in Brazil. We were going into this military government, and there was a lot of censorship. And there comes, the happy, colorful, crazy movement with Gil, Caetano, Gal Costa, Maria Bethânia, Tom Zé. And they rocked the foundations of that very square society up to that point. So it really opened Brazil for the future. You know, that's why it's so important and so revered till now.
How did the Brazilian military government react to Tropicália?
Well, there were many, many problems and issues because, of course, it became the music of the young people. And the songs had these amazing double meanings, so the censorship wouldn't understand exactly what was going on the lyrics, but everybody else, the audience would understand what they were meaning. So it was all a game of cat and mouse with lyrics that were subliminal. And, Chico Buarque de Holanda was a master in doing that. He would say anything he wanted in a way that the lady sitting at the censorship office didn't understand anything, and she approved it. So they had a very magical, very interesting time. So we tried to make Red Hot in Rio as sort of a reapproach to that era, because we feel that now Tropicália is even more relevant, as relevant as back then, because they were already, with this spreading the concept that everything was going to merge, and all the cultures and all the music and all the trends and all the fashion and all the visuals. And now we're living a period that everything is merging. And I think the indie rock kids and the new bands, they feel that.
I know you brought several songs that you want us to hear today. Are there any examples of kind of hidden lyrics that are protesting the political situation?
I chose Domingo no Parque, from Gilberto Gil. Domingo no Parque is a very simple concept. It's a story of a construction worker that goes out to a park on a Sunday. But the way it's described and the way it's told, there's a catastrophe in the end of the song. And so that it's about somebody, the worker class in Brazil, the working class in Brazil, that you know, it was never represented. So the arrangement and the creativity of it, you know, pushed the envelope a lot.
O rei da brincadeira,
Ei, José.
O rei da confusão,
Ei, João.
Um trabalhava na feira,
Ei, José.
Outro na construção.
Ei, João.
A semana passada, no fim da semana, João resolveu não brigar. No domingo de tarde saiu apressado e não foi pra Ribeira jogar. Capoeira não foi pra lá, pra Ribeira foi namorar. O José, como sempre, no fim da semana, guardou a barraca e sumiu. Foi fazer no domingo um passeio no parque, lá perto da boca do rio. Foi no parque que ele avistou Juliana, foi que ele viu. Foi que ele viu Juliana na roda com João.
With a genre as rich as Tropicália, I mean, how did you decide who's going to participate on this project and which songs were you going to choose?
We are three producers at Red Hot, myself and John Carlin, who's the founder of Red Hot, and Paul Heck. We started out with a vision that said, okay, so this is a Tropicália inspired record. And Tropicália can sort of be basically anything. One of the big central, you know, tenets of Tropicália is that everything is possible. So musically, we were open. It's like an open canvas. We always say the Red Hot Project's artists can do things that they would not necessarily do on their own records. So we started approaching people that we thought mixed and matched and mashed up and, you know, remixed. Some artists were sort of obvious. Beck was an artist very influenced. Devendra Bernhardt, even Beirut, even of Montreal. Then we started noticing that some have played Brazilian songs live, some had live videos already of songs. And it's a process of inviting and finding the right collaboration, the right song we suggest.
So, for example, what's one collaboration on the compilation that you feel works just brilliantly?
Well, there's several, but I think, you know, one of the songs that really, really came out almost by the end of the project is Mia Doi Todd with José González, and they did this classic early 70s song by Lô Borges called Um Girassol da Cor do Seu Cabelo, which means a sunflower with the color of your hair. And I think both artists are so amazing, and the arrangement, this electronic new vibe on the song, I think that one is really something very special.
Fascinating artist collaborations, and I'm wondering, how do you choose who's going to work with who? Or do the artists themselves say, I really like this musician, you know, Beirut. I really like this guy, Beck. I want to work with him. I guess you're kind of a musical matchmaker.
I think it's part of the Red Hot, charm, because since the beginning, since Red Hot and Blue in 1990, the first one especially was modern people doing Cole Porter songs. That was something so innovative then, you know, nobody had done these covers yet. So since then, I think it became a tradition. People expect on the Red Hot records, they're going to hear something that they will only hear on a Red Hot compilation. That's what makes it special. And through the years, we've been able to work with, I don't know, 400 and something artists.
Vento solar y estrellas tomar, você ainda quer morar comigo. Se eu morrer, não chore, não, é só a lua, é meu estilo cosmar.
I want to go back in the time machine now and talk about some of the music that you brought in. Why don't you choose a song and then we'll talk about the music after?
I think we should hear, you know, because it's a funny coincidence. There's a record that was released in 93 by Caetano Veloso and Gilberto Gil, and they were celebrating 25 years of Tropicália back then, and the album is called Tropicália 2. And they recorded a Jimi Hendrix song that is called Wait Until Tomorrow. And I love the groove and I love the sound, and it's a Jimi Hendrix song, and maybe a lot of people are not aware of it.
You know, Jimi Hendrix music is just so adaptable to all kinds of forms, and that really proves it. Now, how have the Tropicália veterans matured musically? I mean, did they stay true to the ideals of the movement?
Well, that's my personal opinion, yes. And they have done all kinds of projects. You know, Caetano has done film scores, and, you know, Caetano's band now is made out of 25-year-old guys. Huh. So, you know, he's like our Mick Jagger, you know, he's perennially cool, he's always around, and he's playing with a very, very young hip band, and loud rock, you know, so you see Caetano live, I saw the other day at Terminal 5 here in New York, and he looks like a kid, you know, it's so much fun to see him. And Gilberto Gil also, they are so well preserved and they are so curious and of the time. You know, Gilberto Gil is very interested in internet. So I think that keeps them very young, very connected, and with a musical pulse on what's going on. And also they have many young kids and they listen to what their kids are listening. And it keeps them, you know, completely updated on music. I think it's amazing.
I do want to make sure we get to hear a band that is pretty much synonymous with Tropicália, which is Os Mutantes. Why don't you tell us what track you'd like to listen?
I think it's one of the essential Tropicália tracks. It's called Panis et Circenses. It's Bread and Circuses in Latin. And it's the song and the recording that probably, you know, opened really the door to this new music in Brazil. It was like a massive landmark, as you guys will hear now.
Eu quis cantar minha canção iluminada.
pessoas na sala de jantar são ocupadas em nascer e morrer. Mandei fazer de puro aço numeroso um punhal para matar o meu amor. E matei às 5 horas na Avenida Central, mas as pessoas na sala de jantar são ocupadas em nascer.
You know, if there's any cut that's Beatles influence, I think this is it.
You know what they were doing? There was an arranger and a producer called Rogério Duprat, which is often compared to the Brazilian George Martin.
Huh.
He was an older gentleman, and he knew how to mix, and he was open to experimentation, and he would find noises and sounds, and they used roach killer sprays, you know, they would record crazy little things that became the trademark of this movement.
And I'd kind of say that Os Mutantes is kind of like the signature sound of Tropicália, right?
Yeah, they were the signature sound. They were two brothers and had this guitar that was specially built for them by the older brother of the two Mutantes guys. And this guitar is still around, and Sérgio still plays that guitar. And it has this incredible, fuzzy, crazy sound. And we have a song of Montreal with those Mutantes, and they played the Bate Macumba with that guitar. And it's wild. You guys are going to love it.
Okay, great. Everything we're hearing, though, is so different. How would you describe the sound of Tropicália?
It's very hard to describe because of their everything is allowed, you know, motto. So it could be an acoustic guitar and voice poem, and it could be a loud rocking track. Bossa Nova has a sound. Bossa Nova is a style. Bossa Nova has a guitar swing to it. Tropicália, on the other hand, is free form. It's basically the period, it's basically those artists.
So it's more like a feeling.
Exactly. I think it's a feeling, it's a conceptual way of producing, of mixing things, of being open to the universe. And we have this sort of anthropophagia, it's called. It's like a cannibalism of music and culture. We eat what's going on around the world, and now faster because of the internet, and we make it Brazilian and send it out to the world again, and it keeps feeding back. Music was the opening postcard, but people are very interested in Brazil.
So why don't you recommend another song from the compilation for us to hear?
Well, one of my personal favorite is Bebel Gilberto, Acabou Chorari, because that's a beautiful song. It's an interesting story. You know, Acabou Chorari was recorded by a band called Novos Baianos in 1972. And Bebel was a little girl, and she was at their apartment in Rio, and she... Acabou Chorari is a mixture of Portuguese with Spanish. It's
right.
It's a language that doesn't exist.
Portunhol.
Portunhol, you know, in a way. And Bebel said, oh, Acabou Chorari, like, I'm done crying. And they wrote this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. And I was raised with my older siblings listening to that album. So for me to have this recording with Bebel, and I worked a lot with Bebel in, you know, the last decade or so. And so it's really, really nice that she recorded this and we are releasing it.
Acabou chorar e ficou tudo lindo. De manhã cedinho. Tudo cacacá na fé, fé, fé. Bubuli lindo, bubuli lindo. No bubu lindo. No bubu lindo. buraquinho invadiu minha casa, me acordou na cama, tomou meu coração e sentou na minha mão. Abelha, abelhinha, acabou chorar e faz um zoom pra eu ver, faz um zoom pra mim. Abelha, abelhinho, faz bonito, escondido, faz um zoom e mel, faz um zoom e mel, faz um zoom e mel.
Becca, what was your own experience with Tropicália? I mean, did you understand it and accept it as you were growing up, or did you grow into it?
Interesting question. Me, as a São Paulo kid growing up in Brazil, I listened to a lot of international music, to, you know, everything that was going on then, and I would listen to really everything, you know, from disco to progressive rock to jazz to ECM music. I was really eclectic on my tastes. I always loved Brazilian music, of course, and I was very into Gil Caetano and Beto Guedes and Lo Borges. But growing up there, it was not so touchable to me that this was a musical form. It was just normal, you know, they were around, there were shows. When I moved to New York many, many years ago, all that sort of started sinking in that, oh my God, this music of my country is really appreciated all over the world, you know, and really appreciated. So I think my musical taste became more Brazilian in the last 20-something years that I live in New York. And I research more, I learn more, I have more Brazilian records now, much more.
The compilation does have a remake of one of my favorite Brazilian songs, Águas de Março.
Oh, that is a lovely tune. That's our nod to Mr. Antônio Carlos Jobim, because
yes,
you know, he was a true Brazilian genius.
É pau, é pedra, é o fim do caminho. É um resto de toco, é um pouco sozinho. É um caco de vidro, é a vida, é o sol. É a noite, é a morte. É peroba do campo,
é o nó da madeira,
caingá, candeia,
é uma tita pereira,
é madeira de vento,
tombo da ribanceira,
é um mistério profundo,
é o queiro ou não queira,
é o vento ventando, é o fim da ladeira, é a viga, é o vão, festa da comieira,
é a chuva chovendo, é conversa ribeira. Das águas de março é o fim da canseira.
É o pé, é o chão,
é a marcha estradeira.
Passarinho na mão,
pedra de atiradeira.
É uma ave no céu,
é uma ave no chão.
É um regato, é uma fonte,
é um pedaço de pão.
É o fundo do poço, é o fim do caminho. No rosto o desgosto, é um pouco sozinho. É um strep,
é um prego,
conta.
É um ponto.
É um pingo.
Pingando.
É uma conta.
É um conto. É
um peixe. One of the things of, I love about Brazilian music is, for someone who doesn't understand Portuguese, this probably sounds really mellow, and a lot of the music sounds very happy, but the lyrics are so existential sometimes, and so profoundly philosophical,
it's
amazing.
Especially on this song.
Yes.
This song is like a concrete poem. There's so many levels to this song. It's first, I think for many years nobody really knew. It's called The Waters of March, so you know, it's about rain, and it has that cyclical feel. You know, the track is always running out, it never comes back. There's no chorus really, it's always a, you know, like a moving river. And lately, or a few years ago, I learned that this song, or part of the song, is based on Jobim's Building a House. And it says, you know, a stick, a stone, it's the end of the road, and it's the sand, and it's the glass, and it's this, and it's that. And you would never imagine that it's such a solid, concrete song with such a watery kind of rhythm and melody. It's a bossa nova song per se, but it's very tropical influence because it has that imagery that's so, you know, avant-garde, that we decided to include this one as well as a hello to Mr. Jobim, who is in heaven right now, but I hope he... And the recording is very interesting. It was done by Atom, who is a German musician who lives in Chile, and he's also known as Senor Coconut.
And, oh, really?
Yes, and then the Japanese producer, Mr. Toshiyuki Yasuda, and Fernanda Takai from a band called Patofu in Brazil, and Moreno Veloso, who is Caetano's oldest son. I love it too.
So many musicians have been inspired by Tropicalia. Famously, Kurt Cobain sent a letter to Os Mutantes asking that they please get back together. What do you think it is about Tropicalia that just inspires other generations and really people around the world?
I heard that story. I believe Kurt or Nirvana were in Brazil in the early 90s for some shows. And I think somebody handed, or Kurt Cobain already had some vinyl records that were very hard to find. And so he was in Brazil, and I think somebody asked, would you like to send a message to them or something? Or they were talking about Mutantes. And people realized that there was something going on the water of Brazil that, you know, that it still resonates today. It's still modernity. It's still breaking ground today, you know, 40 years later.
Okay, one of my favorite tracks is the Beck and Seal George track from the album. Let's play it a little, and then we'll come back and talk about the song.
Quando eles batem numa guitarra quebrada, as ruas têm um charme bem tropical. As embaixadas que ficam sem opções, onde os turistas roncam e se descompõem. Você dançou em pleno fogo cruzado, se mascarou e vai voltar pro passado. Passou calor no bar equatorial. Não tem confete, não tem mais carnaval.
You wouldn't know what to say to yourself. Love is a poverty you couldn't sell. Misery waits in great hotels. Be a big bear.
Maré de azar, cantou canções funerárias pros garanhões, que são de bronze anabólico, vão tropeçar na neblina do milênio até cair e se desinflarem.
You wouldn't know what to say to yourself. Love is a poverty you couldn't sell. Misery waits in big hotels.
So this is a remake.
This is sort of a remake. It's we went back to the original Beck Tropicália recording of the mid-90s, and we got his permission to add Seu Jorge to it, who made sort of a version in Portuguese, and producer extraordinaire Mario Caldato in LA mixed it all together and recreated a Tropicália vibe for 2011.
Into the jaws of a pestilent love. You wouldn't know what to say to yourself. Love is a poverty you could sell. Misery waits and break your bell. To be a victim.
Beko, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys so much for the space, and I hope everybody enjoys the album. It comes out on June 28th on Entertainment One.
We want to remind our listeners that you can hear the full versions of these songs on our website at npr.org/altlatino.
We're going to be streaming the entire compilation as part of our exclusive First Listen series.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
This has been Alt Latino.